Some words from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As a native of Ardley, harvest has always been a part of my life. I took it for granted, and each summer enjoyed the harvest holiday, as it was called then, riding around on my bike and seeing what was going on. As a bell ringer too, the harvest holiday was a time to get into Mr. Erith's Land Rover and visit different churches to have a ring. It was a blissful time of golden days with not much effort on my part in getting in the harvest, although I had a profitable time of fruit picking with the foxes and the friars. In the church at Crockerford, the biggest service of the year was the harvest festival. The mission room was cleaned and then filled with the aroma of apples, pears, pumpkins and onions for the many people who flocked to church to give thanks that Sunday. It was at that service many years ago when I first got a shock concerning my own mortality and the reality of death and judgment. We sang words like, "Give his angels charge at last in the fire, the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore." I realized that meant that I would be harvested one day. I can remember tugging on my mother's coat in fright and she bending down to smile, encouraging me to sing with all my heart. And so it was born in my mind the concept of worry. And I realized this was part of our natural condition. I had grown up hearing the old song, "Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While there's a Lucifer to light your fag, smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile." That was one solution adopted by the Reverend Studdard Kennedy, chaplain to the troops in the First World War. His kindness in giving out cigarettes earned him the name of Woodbine Willie. His compassionate gesture, in fact, was to give nicotine, a drug, to lessen the worry and stress. I'm sure he gave spiritual help and comfort too. Move on 100 years or so, and we hear more and more about stress and worry. Sadly, it is affecting some of the young who could be enjoying a carefree life among the abundance of God's provision in our country. Many ways, some really harmful, are found to lessen the pain. And we hear too of children committing suicide, choosing death rather than life. This cannot be the way. We need better counsel for our children. And so we come to these words of Jesus in this most familiar part of the gospel. He is giving his advice to us about dealing with trouble and stress, which cause worry. Let's first acknowledge the wonder that Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came to earth as a man, understands what we humans suffer. He also knows the glory that awaits us when we are harvested by God. Through the forgiveness he bought for us by his death on the cross, he sets us free when we accept his offer to trust in him. In Jesus, we have a teacher, a champion, and a saviour. He knows, and it's worth listening to his advice, which I plan to do in this second part of the sermon. He tells us to listen to the birds, and so I will begin with a little verse given to me by a Methodist lady long ago. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus gave us a prayer to our Heavenly Father, and we will say it today as we give thanks for the harvest. I believe he also gives us peace by helping us to make peace with God. It is a peace which brings us back into a right relationship, not only with God, but with one another. And as we celebrate today at harvest, with all creation, let's look at the advice of Jesus in this passage using the word peace. First, he says, get your priorities right. P for priorities. He reminds us that life itself, meaning the ability to get up in the morning, is more important than worrying about what we will eat and what we will wear. We can begin the day by giving thanks that we are alive, can breathe, can walk, can speak, and can love. Then he tells us to engage, E for engage, with the birds and the animals around us. When we pause and watch what is going on outside our windows, in our gardens, or in the open countryside, we forget ourselves and our concerns and come into a place of inner stillness. Next, he tells us to admire the beauty of the flowers, like the beautiful displays we see in church today. The lilies of the field he speaks of were the equivalent of our wildflowers. We can walk on and never see them, but when we stop and look, we are amazed at the beautiful details. No two are identical. Surely that tells us that we share their uniqueness and are all very special to God, without exception. He understands who we are and who we may become by his grace. So we have P for priorities, E for engage, and A for admire. I chose to use the word consider next. Consider the kingdom of God. In our daily life, we can forget that we are created beings and that God himself is the ultimate ruler and king. His rule is perfect, but we have all gone our own way and rebelled. This part of Jesus' advice is a call to turn back to God. In fact, Jesus' first message to us as he began his ministry was repent, or turn back, for the kingdom of God is near. Once we catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God, we are drawn to it, for it is a kingdom of light and blessing, freeing us from darkness and misery, which drags us down into depression. We meet together today to share his kingdom values as we acknowledge our Creator. For the final word, I've taken entrust. Jesus tells us to think of others, especially those living in poverty, and entrust some of our wealth to them. Perhaps like me, you sometimes experience a reluctance to share. You may wonder how your hard-earned cash might be spent. That is why I chose the word entrust. The book of Proverbs says that what we give to the poor, we give to God. In fact, the grace of giving releases us from many worries and gives a sense of joy. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, And the word cheerful may be translated as hilarious. What a different state to be in when we follow Jesus rather than our niggling financial worries. The antidote then to worry Jesus gives us in this passage is peace. On the last night before his death, he said to his disciples, "Peace is my parting gift to you." And he says that to us as well. How do we find that peace? It can only be found by going to Jesus on the cross, admitting and confessing our sins, and asking for his forgiveness and for his healing. Then, by his Spirit, he enters our lives as we welcome him in. Jesus Christ himself is our peace. He gives a peace which passes all understanding, and it grows as we grow in love. We bring forth a rich harvest in our lives. But to live in peace, we have to take charge of what we allow into our minds. Admit a worry or an annoyance, and it will grow and take away our peace. This is some advice I read on a morning when I could have missed many moments of happiness if I had not been reminded to resist negative, worrying thoughts. And I read it to you now. Close your heart when agitation, annoyance, indignation, or anger try to force their way in and create turmoil. Bar the entrance with the name of Jesus. Say, "Jesus, you are my peace." Say this again and again. Then his peace will fill your heart and the turmoil will subside. Thus equipped, we'll be better able to help friends, neighbours, family members when they are worried and stressed. We can tell them that peace is found in Jesus and suggest they seek his peace. We can also use the power of the name of Jesus to pray for our local schools or issues raised in the news to bring the Prince of Peace and his peace into our communities. Finally, we can simply do what we have done today and come to give thanks. We can lace each day with the ribbon of thanksgiving and keep our hearts in peace. Even when things do not go to plan, we can give thanks because it is the will of God for us, as St. Paul teaches. Harvest festivals then teach us many important things. Above all, they show us a way of humble dependence on a loving, merciful and gracious God who knows our need before we ask him. Amen.